in complete dependence upon our Lord to help us, that he may open and apply his holy and gracious word to the good of our souls and our benefit in life's pathway. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to those two verses in the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. These two verses, 15 and 16, of chapter 49 of Isaiah's prophecy. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Dear friends, this is the word of God. The word of God unto his people. Today is Remembrance Day, for us to remember all that has taken place in the past wars and have affected our nation. And dear friends, how often we are not mindful of what our forebears have been through, and those who have fought for the good of our nation to bring us under the good hand of God to be as we are this day. Yes, the slogan often today is lest we forget, but how often we do forget. We take so much for granted, we complain the slightest things that go wrong. When things aren't as we wish, we try to find someone to blame, and so on and so forth. Oh, how forgetful we are of what has taken place to give us all the benefits and the prosperity, the affluence that we enjoy continually at this time. But dear friends, as we sought to consider remembrance this morning, dear friends, here we have the remembrance of God. The remembrance of God unto his people. I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Dear friends, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the prophet. The eternal Son of God, who was to come and be the Redeemer and Saviour of his people. The answer is in to the cry of Zion. But Zion said, the Lord hath forgotten me, forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. They were in a low state. They were in a state of darkness and sadness and sorrow. What is meant here by Zion? We have many references, don't we, to Zion in the scriptures. Zion was a name given by the Jebusites to where they lived in Canaan. The word Zion literally means not a monument, but a certain stable place, a waymark even, something that is set up and not removed. It's there for all times. And it was called Mount Zion. And when David conquered to enter into Jerusalem, he made Mount Zion the city of David. The city of David, Mount Zion. And there he brought the Ark of the Covenant. And he called it the Holy Hill of Zion, as we read Psalm 2. The Holy Hill of Zion. The Lord's presence there in the indication of the Ark and the mercy seat. And there it stayed till Solomon built the temple. And then Solomon took the ark from the Mount Zion, the city of David, and put it in the oracle of the temple which he'd built. And the place where temple was built in the northern part of Jerusalem on the second hill, that became known then as Mount Zion. A place, a city as it were, set on a hill, couldn't be hid. A waymark. Oh, what a waymark that was when the temple was built and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And Solomon prayed to the Lord that all those who would pray towards that house, the Lord would hear in heaven, his dwelling place, and forgive. It was the place where the glory of the Lord filled the place, that the priests were not able to enter at the end of the prayer of Solomon. It was a glorious, sacred place. But, dear friends, it did not remain in such a state as that dinner. The people were called daughters of Zion. They were called sons of Zion, children of Zion. Oh, what a name for Israel. The Lord's people, Zion. But dear friends, they came into a very solemn state, didn't they? We read at the very beginning of this prophecy, or in that first chapter, of their solemn state because of their sins. How they departed from the Lord. How they rebelled against him. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Well, we read, don't we, the sins of the people. The prophecies are covered. Is it seeking them to turn about unto repentance? But they forbore to hear. They continued worshipping God with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. And the Lord says, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. What does that mean? Well, dear friends, the cottage in a vineyard was a place in the midst of the vineyard where the keeper of the vineyard stayed to guard the vineyard. And he had responsibility for the fruit of the vineyard. And when the grapes were gathered in, the grapes were brought to this cottage and they were stored there until the harvest was over, and then they used to be then taken away for their use, and the same with the cucumbers. The lodge in the garden of the cucumbers, the lodge where the keeper of the fields where the cucumbers were kept, grew and kept. But then, when everything was finished, that cottage and that lodge became an empty place. It was desolate. Nobody was there. And dear friends, Israel was like that. They'd lost, as it were, all that goodness and mercy. The Lord had forsaken them. The Lord had left them. But dear friends, what a mercy. It was not forever. Well, we read, don't we? Is it Isaiah 54? Now the Lord says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. He has not forsaken his people. Oh, he has to chasten. He has to teach them their dependence upon him. And there's the hiding of his face, isn't there? Which we read just a bit higher in Isaiah 54. Is it 54 verse 2? No, not 54 verse 2. Perhaps it's chapter 52. Oh, it says, how the Lord has forsaken his people because of their iniquities. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness. Oh, the Lord separated from them. He hid his face from them. That's chapter 59, sorry. And so, like a cottage in a vineyard that has been left, and they were now left only to sorrow in all their troubles and their difficulties and on account of their sins. But I have only left thee for a moment. But that moment, dear friends, was sorely felt. Why did Zion say, the Lord hath forsaken me and the Lord hath forgotten me? Because the Lord had given another promise. In verse 13, the verse before, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Although they were in this low state, they were told to sing because of the promise of the Lord that he would not forsake them. He would not forget them. He would bestow mercy upon his afflicted. He would comfort his people. We read, don't we? The Lord hath comforted his people. That lovely chapter 40, the promise there, wasn't it, to come? Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I will not forsake thee, I will not forget. In spite of all your sins, all your iniquities, I will yet be the God of all comfort to you. Your warfare is accomplished. Oh, they couldn't fight the battle of sin against them, fight the battle of sin to deliver themselves, could they? They could only enter more and more into sin. But the Lord hath accomplished that battle. This is the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ, isn't it? The blessed Redeemer. Oh, the Saviour of his people. She, Zion, hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. You've heard me say that word double is also the same word meaning duplicate. She's received a double, a duplicate. That's Christ in the sinner's place, made sin for us, made sin for his people. All our iniquities and sins, his people's sins, laid upon him, for him to bear them away. And so we read lower down, don't we, in chapter 40, O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God, behold your God. There, friends, there's the deliverance. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forgotten me. But yet there was mercy. Well, my mind goes to Paul's writing to the Hebrews. Those Israelites of the New Testament, when he wrote concerning the glory of God and of Christ unto them. He says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that's Mount Sinai, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, they feared. Oh, that was the covenant of works, given, as it were, under that thunder and fire and the wrath of God for sin, should that covenant be broken. Yeah, friends, it was under this covenant and the knowledge of their sin. Oh, that Zion felt forsaken. The Lord had forgotten them. It's a solemn thing, isn't it, to be convicted of our sins and brought into such a dark place, an absent God. Oh, no hope of ourselves, only condemnation. Oh, but the Lord says through Paul, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, speaketh better things than of Abel, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, Zion. The place where the Lord put his name, the place, dear friends, where that temple was built, where the glory of the Lord filled that place. Christ came there, didn't he? Oh, he said to those who had despised and defiled the temple, he said regarding himself, destroy this temple, then I will build it again in 3 days. Not speaking of the building, the physical building, but of his own body. That he would be the glory of that Mount Zion, Jerusalem, where he suffered, or where he poured out his blood as sacrifice for sin. Oh, the heavenly Jerusalem, the way in which a way is made to glory, to heaven. Thou art come unto Jesus, the Comforter, the divine Comforter, the Comforter of his people. Oh, dear friends, what precious things the gospel tells us of, don't we? But you say, oh, but this is Zion. This is the children of Israel. Zion says, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. Yes, but what do we read in this chapter, Isaiah 49? We read of the coming of Jesus. He speaks as he is made a servant. The Lord said unto me, thou art my servant, in whom I will be glorified. Oh, he calls him name, O Israel, the name of his people. And dear friends, we have that, don't we, in Jeremiah. The name of the Lord's people is the name of Christ. Jehovah Sikunu, the Lord our righteousness. And the Lord came, dear friends, to be made like unto his brethren, sinners, be made sin for them, that they should be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, but his people rejected him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And God said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. That's you and me. That thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth, throughout all the kingdoms of this earth, from now unto the very end of time. Thou shalt be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so he testifies of the coming of Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. In a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause it to inherit the desolate heritages, the work of Christ, a covenant of the people. Well, dear friends, what is that covenant? Not the covenant of works of Mount Sinai, dear friends, but the covenant of grace of Mount Zion, a crucified Jesus, a crucified Saviour, bearing the iniquities, bearing the sins of many, there shedding that blood, that only way there could be a remission of sins. Oh, pouring out his soul unto death. And that law which was established there, that law which defeated Satan's power, Satan could not overturn it again. It is finished. The law of his grace, the forgiveness of sins, the pardoning of our iniquities, to remember sins no more. Oh, dear friends, this is the one who speaks here. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Dear friends, all these given unto Christ, as we read in eternity past, by the Father, all those he should suffer, bleed and die for, Jews and Gentiles, broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Oh, dear friends, a Jew who comes to acknowledge Christ for the forgiveness of their sins is the same as a Gentile who comes to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, one in Christ Jesus. There's no distinction between the two in their souls. There may be much distinction here upon earth in the flesh. But oh, to be made one in Jesus. Eternally one. And so, dear friends, this Mount Zion is really termed today, isn't it? The Church of Christ. The Church of Christ, his people for whom he died. Zion. I will not forget thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Dear friends, there we have a crucified Saviour, don't we? All those hands that were nailed to that cross of wood, from whence came blood, lifted up a great sinner, we might say the chief of sinners, in all the sin imputed to him, not just the sin of Saul of Tarsus, who said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, his sins his being the chief of sinners, were laid upon Christ. So were the sins of that one who was crucified alongside of Christ. He who was being crucified for the vilest of sins to suffer upon a cross. Who cried out, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. The Lord remembered him, didn't he? He didn't forsake him. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. All his sins were laid upon Christ. Those of Peter, when he denied the Lord with oaths and curses, they were laid upon Christ. Now, friends, all the sins of the Lord's people, they were laid upon him. What a load. No wonder he cried out, sweating great drops, as it were, of blood. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Oh, what a suffering, what an agony, what a love, what a salvation. That through that death, through that suffering, guilty sinners such as you and such as me, who were brought and called to confess our sins by faith upon him, are cleansed from all of our sin. Oh, perhaps, dear friends, you don't know what it's like to come there. Oh, do pray that the Lord will call you. Do pray that the Lord shall hear your voice. As David prayed, Lord, be not silent to me, lest I become like them that go down into the pit. Oh, we do pray, Lord. We do pray the Lord that he will call each one of us and secure our pardon and our peace. That a promise given here will be ours. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Oh, the almost impossibility of it. Oh, that love a woman has for a child, a young babe, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Oh, dear friends, how solemn when we hear that perhaps a woman rejecting her child that has been born, doesn't want it and puts it away. It's a grief, isn't it? Thankfully, for the most part, oh, there's that love of a bond. And dear friends, such a bond is even greater still between Christ and his church, his people. She may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I will not forget thee, sure and certain. I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. I often think about this graving. You know, you go to a cemetery, there's one down the road. As many stones set up, those, yes, on a remembrance day such as this in the cemeteries and on the cenotaphs, and the names are graven there who've given their life for the nation. Dear friends, they remain there, don't they? But you look at the stones which have had lead letters just stuck on them. Over the time, over the years, over the environment, the rain and things, they begin to fall off. And you lose the identity of those names as what is written. But that which is engraven, dear friends, that not removed, is that? Oh, Jesus says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. My sufferings are there. My death is there. The shedding of my blood is there for you. I know you by name. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Oh, dear friends, what a sacred promise this is, isn't it? I will never forget thee. Thy walls are continually before me. Dear friends, what are these walls? Well, the Hebrew word there literally means your defence. Walls in the cities. They were there for a defence, weren't they? The higher the wall, the thicker the wall, the stronger the defence. Thy walls are continually before me. We read of the walls of the Lord's salvation that are round about his people. That salvation which is in Christ, his sufferings, his death, his resurrection, to give newness of life. Oh, life eternal in the day when we shall be called up higher as Christ ascended up higher, to be with him forevermore. Thy walls are surrounded with the walls of my salvation. I have paid the price for your sin. I have saved you from the wrath of God. I have saved you from your judgment, your deserved judgment, which is hellfire. Oh, that is ever before me. Satan can't break down those walls. Nothing can break down those walls. The Lord is almighty, almighty to save. Oh, one of the prophets speaks, Zechariah, is like a wall of fire round about us. What a sure defence is a wall of fire. Like those who journeyed in America in the days of the pioneers going westward. Oh, they were so vulnerable, weren't they, to enemies and to wild beasts. And at night time they used to light fires all the way around their encampment to keep them safe from anything who would intrude and destroy them. Wall of fire round about his people. Oh, Satan can't get through that. He will be burned up if he tries. Secure. Secure in the love of God. The love of Christ. Oh, what a wall that is. His love, his war, this wall of his love that surrounds about his people. Dear friends, there you're safe and there you're secure. Dear friends, it may be as we, and it will be, I say not maybe, it shall be, that as we continue in our earthly life, we may come down like Zion did here of old. For our iniquities do have an impact upon us still. And our sins, that we do commit sins. And the Lord may readily hide his face from us. Did we not have it this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where the Lord said he would bring things upon us to humble us. He would cause us to be humbled and bring things upon us to know that he is God. We do not live just by earthly things, but by the word of God alone. What difference that experience of Israel in the wilderness? Do read it. There's a lot of instruction there. But through those things which came upon them, he taught them. He taught them their dependence upon him. He caused them to grieve for the absence of his presence. Oh, he caused them to know that they had a need of him at all times. And he brought them again to repentance. That chastening, it wasn't pleasant, it was grievous. But in due time he brought forth the precious fruit of their righteousness, as they poured out their heart in humble confession before God. Oh, this was Zion here. They were in a low state, they'd sinned. The Lord's hand has been risen against them. The Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. And so the psalmist, oh, that psalmist is in Psalm 77, the word came into a low place. Dear friends, these things are left on record for our learning, aren't they? That these things are not just specific to us, but others have known them and they're recorded in the scriptures. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favourable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, what a low state. Where was the exercise of faith? Oh, dear friends, you know, when we come into troubles and difficulties like this, things rise against us. Poor Jacob, all these things are against me. We find how weak our faith is, don't we? To still trust in the Lord with all our heart. Oh, we come into doubts and we come into fears. And we can so readily say, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me. All these questions rise up, shall we ever know his mercy again? The answer there was, this is mine infirmity. This is mine infirmity. Oh, for the increase in faith. Faith to trust in the Lord at all times. His mercy to be upon us. And to know this, dear friends, as a truth that will be applied to us each. I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. All those temptations, trials, and Satan himself, he'll be made to flee as the Lord appears again, when you cast all your care upon him. Oh, dear friends, we thank the Lord, don't we, for these wonderful promises. He is faithful that hath promised. And just one thing, perhaps in closing. This is Zion as a whole, a people as a whole. We think today of the Church of Christ as a whole. Oh, how low we come, don't we? So few these days seek to worship God. So few seek to come and honour the Lord's Day and assemble in the house of God for worship and for praise. And we fear and say, the Lord hath forgotten me, the Lord hath forsaken me. Where's the withholding of his Spirit? Oh, there's the withdrawing of his gracious hand. And we fear lest he will not return. But dear friends, what does he say to Zion here? Oh, he speaks about the building up again of children. I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro. But behold, where had they been? The Lord promised to build up again his church. Build up Zion. Build up them from wherever they are, from the north, from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. You might say, well, wherever is Sinim? That means a far oriental land. Is that China? We do not know. But it's throughout all the nations of the earth. Dear friends, the Lord can build up his people. He knows where they are. He will not forsake his people. He will not forsake his church. Dear friends, it's only when everyone who was given unto Christ has been born and has been saved, that the end will come. Then there'll be no salt of the earth left. That preservative, the salt, it will have been extinguished then, and there'll be no need for the earth. It will all vanish away. But until then, well, we need to pray that the Lord will yet bring forth through the power of his Spirit these abundance of children, these souls to be saved through the shed blood of Christ. And so the Church of Christ be built up, and we prove the proof of his word. I have not forgotten thee. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. The saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all that the Father have given him, he says, shall come. And I will raise them up at the last day, and they shall dwell with me in heaven for evermore. Oh, dear friends, these truths, they need our meditation, don't they? They need our prayerful consideration. Am I amongst those for whom Christ came? Are these precious promises mine? Do I know the saving of my soul through the shed blood of Jesus? And all these precious promises are then mine. All things are yours. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. He will never leave you nor forsake you, in spite of what your earthly pathway may be. Your home is in heaven above, a sure and certain place. Amen.